Welcome to Next Level Greatness. I have been giddy about today's guest, and I don't know if I'm someone that gets giddy that often, but today I bring to you an old friend in the network marketing profession. You are a professional network marketer, author of the book Build to Last, and father of six children, husband, and really just a genuine good human being. So welcome to my podcast.
I'm so excited to be here, Barbie. I can't wait to dive in. And yeah, I feel like we haven't, last time we connected was you weren't feeling that well. So we have to connect back on that, but that was a couple of years ago.
So yes, thank you. It's so good to have you on. I'm feeling so much better. So that was, gosh, that must have been like 3 years ago. And you know what? I'll say that during that period where I wasn't feeling well, network marketing, of course, we have income and all of that stuff, but network marketing, our income sustained itself. So I'm such a believer of network marketing. So let's jump right in, because you have built an organization that is strong, powerful. You practice what you preach, and you really are legit. You don't just say things. Like, you really did build an organization that was built to last.
So my
first question for you is, how did you fall into network marketing? Because I read in your book that you said that you finally said yes to the business opportunity. How did that happen?
It's such a good story to understand the power of your personal energy, your personal belief, and your personal being in the world, right? So my sponsor, when I first got started, I had two people that helped me. I had Craig Holiday, a guy that you worked with as well. And then I had my sponsor, Bob Lucido. So when I first got started, my sponsor, Bob, although he was a mentor in the spiritual realm, so he is a Lakota chief. My wife and I followed that path, and I had spent so much time with him. He got into network marketing and had no idea what the hell he was doing. Like, in his prior background, he was an attorney, and he kept telling me, like, I'm going to quit my law practice and become a full-time network marketer. I was like, dude, you've got a wife, you've got an ex-wife, you've got alimony, you've got child support, you've got two kids over here, two kids over there. I was like, I'd love to do this too, but this is the real world. So for 6 months, he kept getting me, trying to get me to, actually, no, I was signed up as a discount person, but I hadn't recruited anyone. So for 6 months, he kept getting me, trying to get me to sign up, trying to get me to do something. Finally, he went out to a convention in, this was LA, I think. And he had met you, Barbie.
Yeah,
he had met this woman, Tracy Morrow. He had met Carl Deichler, our CEO. So we met all these people. And here's the key piece that I didn't even realize this. He meets everyone. He calls me from out there and says, listen, I don't want to bother you anymore about this, but can I have a half hour of your time? And I said, yes. And I don't remember a single thing he said to me, but here's what I knew in that moment. He's going to do this thing. Like, he's going to do this thing, and I don't want to be left behind. And I didn't consciously know that, but up to that point, he knew he was capable of this. He knew that he's a smart guy. He can do it. But in that moment, he switched from, and I always say he switched from believing he could to knowing he would. And when we're out there recruiting, so many of us believe in this. We believe we can do it. But there's a difference between I know I can do this, or I believe I can do it, and this is happening. I don't know how it's happening. I don't know how it's going to unfold. And it was that energy. And then his shift in energy, there was like five of us that within a year wound up doing this business full time. And it was so many times we want the next training, we want the next this, we want the next that. And I know you're audience, like they get this. It's the energy behind everything that we're doing. And when his energy shift, that's when it shifted for me. Yeah.
So I was actually going to ask you that. And I wonder if it was the same event where I actually met him. And it was, I believe it wasn't even Summit. I believe it was a Tony Horton camp. And I met Bob. He was a lawyer, a practicing attorney at the time. He was only an Emerald coach, which meant that he had two people under him. And he was a beginner. And I remember seeing that light bulb moment. Like, he was a novice. He was a beginner. And then one day he that gives me goosebumps. Then one day he became Bob Lucido, the leader of leaders. And then you are clearly a leader of leaders. So this was very interesting. We're not allowed to talk about specific numbers, but in your book, you are fully transparent and you give the progression of your income.
Yeah.
And because you came into the business ready to work the business, your income was actually double my income the second year. Like, so I just want to point that out because you came in with focus. So how did you actually come in? So you came in ready to work the business.
Yeah.
What did that look like for you?
So I think here's the, I had two advantages. The first advantage was this business is a get your crap together and get your life together business. And if you don't do that, you don't succeed. And I told you, like, I was doing work with Bob, like, being in that spiritual path isn't easy. It's like all the masks we put on are just stripped away, and it's a healing path. Like, I've been forced to look at all my BS. So when I came into this business, A, I came in already doing that work, which is a huge part of this business. And then B, I came in having the ability to help others, because this business is, it's really about how bright and shiny we become. Not, I always say, like, how bright, shiny, and sexy you become from the inside, not on the outside, because there's a confidence, there's a self-esteem, there's a belief. So I came in with that, which had a huge, it was just a huge boost for me. But the second thing, when I started this business, I had a financial consulting company with 30 employees. So I had 30 people that I was responsible for payroll, 30 desks, 30 problems, 30, like, everything that goes along with that size of a business. We had rent, we had all the stuff, we had liabilities, we had a lawsuit that was going, like, all this stuff. And then I get introduced to this business opportunity and they say, hey, we take care of the shipping, we take care of the receiving, we take, and I was like, wait a second. So you mean, and this is when it clicked for me. I was like, so all I need to do is teach other people how to run a business and get them excited about that and get them as excited as I am. So I was beat up from running a real business, and I really saw the opportunity. And I think I saw it through a different lens, because I had also filed bankruptcy because of that other business. There was a lot of, I had tried a lot of businesses and made some money, but in the end, all of them failed. And then this was the thing that I saw. And prior to that, I thought I was too good for it. I thought, I looked down upon the industry, and yeah.
So there are two things that I want to say. The one thing that I'll remember right now is that you came in with prior experience and leadership abilities. And plus you were, as you said, you had already been and you were already on a spiritual path. And Tony Robbins says business is a spiritual game.
Yeah.
So for anyone that is listening, if you already have a business, network marketing still is an incredible opportunity. But I think that, just as you said, so many people turn their nose up at network marketing. I'm too good for this because I'm already a business owner. And in your book, you talk about the example of the yoga studio owner.
Yeah.
Will you talk about that, this yoga studio owner and the network marketing professional that I believe that you helped build? I'm not sure if it was in your organization or not, but I think this will, this example will open people's eyes to the real business opportunity that it is for existing entrepreneurs.
Well, and for everyone.
And for everyone. I think, we're going to talk about everyone. Yeah.
So if here's a big thing for existing entrepreneurs, the hurdle that we have to overcome is if we've got a nice cushy business,
yes,
it's hard to start from the ground up again, right? But with this business, the enormity of the opportunity and the enormity of the freedom, I'm almost 15 years in. If I'm completely honest, like I still work the business, but my business was built in my first 3 years. And 15 years later, we're still reaping the benefits of that. Does that mean that I'm not working? Does that mean that I'm not recruiting? No, but I'm not working 60, 70 hours a week like I was in those first 3 years. So there's, when you're raising your hand, Barbie, like same thing for you, right? There's this, our mentor Craig used to say, in the beginning, you do a lot for a little, and then you do a little for a lot.
I actually didn't work with Craig, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yes. I don't
know. You built the way that, in that way. That's crazy that you did.
This is so wild because maybe because I knew Jason Diebold and I built in a way to really build a massive organization and I placed everything correctly, but it was really by chance almost. I got goosebumps again because it was almost by chance that I happened to build an organization that lasted, but also my knowledge just, I kept investing in myself and how to build and I surrounded myself with the right people and I did all the right things, but it was by accident. But yes, that.
I have to say something on that, Barbie. The way I think you had such a, like you built so deep and so powerful, and it was because you were all in. And it was because you knew where you were going with this. And I looked at an interview with you when you were sitting, and we can't talk about these things now, but you were sitting down with Carl Dyke in the room and you were talking about the income that you were going to make. And
I knew
there's a, I always say that nobody's going to crown you queen in this business. This isn't a, you don't inherit it. Like you've got to go out there and you've got to own it yourself. And you had that energy. And it is like, it comes back to that. And any type of business, but this business is all about that. I have people that I work with. These people will recruit 30, 40, 50 people a month. But after 5 years, they're burnt out because it's one in, one out. And it's because they don't have this. And this is something I actually really want to talk about.
Yeah.
So I'm pointing out a thing with you. But the next thing that I really want to talk about is like people not understanding what this industry is. But you built a huge business because of the way you walked, the way you talked, and the energy.
Absolutely. That was behind you. And I just, before we go on to the topic that you want to talk about, like people not understanding what this business is, I asked you before I started recording, I'm like, Keith, tell me the truth. How many hours more or less do you work per week? And you said, just depending, 5 to 10. And I was like, yeah, me too. This is after 16 years. And there are certain weeks that I will work more. And right now I've made the decision that I'm ready to help build more leaders. Once again, but I'm never going back to working 50, 60 hours a week. And as for you, the same thing happened, or it was the same for me. I would say the first 3 or 4 years were very bottom heavy. That's how we started talking about Craig Holiday, that you do a lot or a little in the beginning. Let's move on to talk about really whatever you want to talk about, but really what is the basis of your book and how you've built differently than most people. And you just shared that it's common practice for people, those who decide to really build the business, to bring in 15, 20, 30, and you have a completely different approach. And I've never seen you burnt out. I've never seen you like, oh, I'm so sick of this, I'm done. So what is your business model? And I think many people could benefit from knowing this.
So again, we're going to send this recording to Craig. His name keeps coming up. I feel that our industry is addicted to building the wrong way. And I feel like there's a lost art of what, like our compensation plan, our compensation model, it does not reward you for recruiting 50 people a month. or 20, like it just doesn't. It rewards you for depth of relationships and impact on people's lives, right? So this isn't a bring in as many people as you can. This is go deep with the right people, because once you transform their lives, they're going to duplicate that and they're going to go deep. And then it just creates this depth in your business, right? So without going in, so I think that the lost art is people think network marketing and affiliate marketing are similar, and it's like multiplication. It's literally network marketing is working with multiplication. Affiliate marketing is working with addition and subtraction. And I don't care how good you are at affiliate marketing, they're not the same. And what
I think it's worth saying a little bit more, because right now the trend is affiliate marketing and social selling. And there isn't, there's still the stigma with being a network marketing professional. Ooh, it's a pyramid scheme, it's this and that. And people are just so missing out. And somehow, maybe because of TikTok and Instagram, social selling and affiliate market, or if that's the same thing, affiliate marketing, social selling has become very in and very popular and very highly looked upon.
Yeah. I would say the difference between being an affiliate marketer or a social seller, we need to understand it in our brains first. That's a side gig. It's a side hustle. I can make a couple extra bucks, and a lot of people need that. So if we look at Airbnb, that's a side gig, right? If I have an extra room, I can rent it out and I can make some extra money. If I look at Uber, I can drive and make some extra money. So network marketing has that component. We can refer products, we can sell products, all of that, and we make commissions. But I can also own the Uber, or I can own the Airbnb company and have a massive team that's doing this underneath me. So and what happened is, with social media was the best thing for network marketing and the worst thing. It was the best thing because we could bring in a lot of people, and it was the worst thing because it diluted the power of the opportunity. Because the power is in the depth of relationships. And here's the thing. Network marketing is not for everyone, because a lot of people just want to sit and post a link and collect a little check. But if you want the opportunity to have life-changing impact on people's lives, if I sell master resell rights to somebody, I'm not impacting their life. If I have somebody like you, we mentioned Nicole Jones, we didn't mention her name in the beginning, where this woman was struggling to put $10 in her gas tank when we first met. And then 3 years later, she got a team of 10,000 people. That's a way different experience. So it's human beings working with human beings. It's people helping people. And you get paid for that. And here's the thing that we don't understand, or that people have lost the concept of. With network marketing, you get paid for the impact that you have, whether it's directly or indirectly. With social selling, it's how many things can I sell? That's the impact I have. With network marketing, when Nicole came in and she built this business of 10,000 people, and I didn't even meet any of these people, that there was an impact, but it was indirect. It was, and you get rewarded for that. Like, it's a smaller percentage, but you get rewarded for the indirect impact that you have. I don't know if that's too wordy, if that makes any sense, Barbie.
No, but I think let's make it concrete for people, because, so for example, I brought in a woman by the name of Liz. Liz went on to earn a cumulative $1 million and no network marketing guarantees any level of income and success. It's all really dependent on you, your skills, and the effort that you put in. And so Liz brought in Amy Mashburn, and you know her as Amy Silverman, who has consistently been a top 10 rock star in the business. She brought in Meredith Ganah, who's a rock star, who brought in Moira Kusaba, who became top 10 or top coach in the whole entire organization. And she brought in Aaron Hopkins, who was number two last year. I've had very little hands-on, let me show you this, but the impact extends far beyond me. So I just caused a ripple effect. I was there for one person. Yes, I've worked with a few of them, but it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And this is something that you talk about a lot about in your book, that this business moves. And I do believe that Craig talks about that, right? Build a business that, and you talk about this, that doesn't need you for it to run and the impact. Because another thing that I loved, that what you really talk about in your book, and I highly recommend Build to Last, is that you talk a lot about two things. You talk about the focus has been too much on money for network marketing professionals. And I'm guilty of that. And reading your book was a wonderful reminder that it really should be a focus on who you're becoming. And the legacy that we get to provide, because when we, well, you talk about that, like what happens when you work with someone, how are their lives impacted? Let's go ahead and make it concrete. You can take someone, I don't know, Elizabeth Hartke or anyone in your organization that you've worked with closely and how they become impacted and who they become.
Yeah. So when you're sharing, it brings up two thoughts in my mind. The first one is like, this quote that I think I maybe made this quote. You know how sometimes you're like, did I make that up or did I hear that somewhere and make it my own? But it's an inheritance leaves a financial impact. A legacy leaves an impact on someone's spirit and their soul and who they are on their heart. And the way that I visualize it is we're sandwiched in between the people that came before us and then the people that are going to come after us. And we can trace this back 7 years, meaning if you go back seven generations, the people that were in your bloodline, the decisions they made affect how you live now, right? And just simply whether, where you live, how, in the good and the bad, like the neuroses that some of us have, the beautiful parts that some of us have, it like that gets passed down and then it comes to us, and the decisions we make are going to, and even if we don't have kids, like the decisions we make are going to impact the next seven generations. And that can be in the people in our downline, that can be the people in our community, that can be the other people that we work with. And this sounds so big, but it's so real. As a father, the only prayer I have is to be able to do it a little better than my dad did. And there's mistakes that I make. And you know what? Those mistakes, that one like time you mess up and that kid carries that on, that's a thing that's going to be passed down generation again. Or the thing that I heal and do different, that's going to be passed down like generationally. So working, like looking at that and looking at the brighter and shinier we become, the ultimate thing, people think that this business is about the more you recruit, the bigger your business gets. And it's not like that at all. It's the more you develop leaders. That's what this business depends on.
100%. And if you recruit 30 people, 10 people, 30 people, 40, 50 people, and they don't succeed, and by succeed, we mean they don't help other people have success, you will just have had a little tiny cash injection of whatever the commission is if they buy something.
Yeah.
But there is no legacy. There is no impact. It's just a little bit of money. And then I see you and I have seen it over and over again.
And then there's burnout.
Burnout. Yeah. It's what happens. And yeah, I was going to say, I think in the beginning, I didn't have that. I didn't have that strategy of looking, intentionally looking for leaders. And this is why I love your book so much, that from the onset, you knew the way to build this business is to find the leaders. and not throw spaghetti at the wall. Let's see who comes in and let's see, because there was definitely a period of burnout, pause, reflection. Okay, how can I do this better? And so I'm grateful for that experience, but gosh, and this is the way that I build now. This is the way that I feel now. But your book firmly and simply and clearly lays out, this is how to bring people in. Of course, you're going to use different strategies. This is how to, who gets my time, who doesn't get my time. It's great.
But Barbie, you did do that. You just didn't have the game plan for that. Meaning, like, the amount of leaders in your downline, the amount of leaders that you developed, like, it's, you knew it intuitively. It just wasn't like the game plan, right?
Yes, yes. Intuitively, it wound, intuitively, and it also wound up happening. I stumbled upon it and discovered it.
Yeah.
But I was also guilty of, and it's not a bad thing. It's, I've made the mistakes, right? That I was going for the numbers. And it just so happened that in those big numbers, there were a few leaders because I was leading. Now that I'm doing it differently, I'm not going for 50 people or 40 people. I would never recommend going for that. It's quality over quantity. So in the end, I built to last. In the end, from the beginning, you built with the intention for it to last. And I want to say something about, I know some of your people that you've helped to build. And this is before I actually, I had always known your name, and you've never been, sometimes in network marketing or just with, in network marketing, yes, like you build these, they're these rock stars, right? And it's like flashy and all this stuff. It can be like that. You were never someone that was seeking the spotlight and that was flashy in any way. You were like this quiet force, but I knew your name. And more importantly, when I met people and they spoke about you, the way that they spoke about you was with such like reverence and respect, and they really felt held by you as a mentor. And so it just says so much about you. And it's been beautiful to hear, to learn about you through other people. And then I got to really get to know you and meet you.
You make me get all choked up.
Yeah. I'm sharing this because that's legacy. Like that's legacy. And the reason that I invited you to this podcast was because the other day you happened to come across my feed and I happened to watch one of your videos. And I was like, remember I commented, I was like, this is the frequency of truth. There was just this truth to the way that you were speaking, to what you were saying. You're not sugarcoating. You're not BSing people. You're not like, it's all about me. There was just this plain truth. About the power of network marketing and what you can do to, for it to flourish and for it to last.
Yeah. Can I just add one more thing on? Because
yes,
I think there's, so we're talking about network marketing. And I don't know why this is popping into my head right now. I think there's two decisions that if you're considering network marketing, there's two decisions you have to get right. The first decision is a make or break, and it's the company that you're with. And don't worry about comp plans, all of that. Just worry about, do you love it? And are you, would you promote it? Would you share it? Would you, are you an evangelist before you're part of the company? Because if you're not, you're going to get burnt out with it. And then the second thing is the person you sign up with is the most important decision you're going to make. Can you succeed if you didn't sign up with the right person? 100%. Don't use that as an excuse. But if you're getting into this or getting back into it, you need some, like you're signing, it's not a sponsor. It's not somebody that it, you're signing up under. Like you're basically saying, will you mentor me? And you want somebody that has the ability to mentor you. I think too many people underestimate the value of that. And the second piece that I'll add to that is, are they living the life that you want to emulate? If somebody is burnt out, stressed out, but they're making $1 million, do you really want that? You know? So I'll stop there.
Yeah, no, this is true. This is true. So you actually brought it up. So I have two questions for you. What is the state of network marketing right now? Because there's a lot of noise out there, and this is better. You can make $1 million in 7 weeks with Master VSL rights, or this network marketing company is better. This is better. What is the state of network marketing now? Question number one, and question number two will end here, or we'll wrap up there, is who can succeed in network
Yeah.
marketing?
So there's a void that needs to be filled in network marketing. Remember Brett Blake?
Yes.
I
Oh, that's a long time ago.
love him. So 3 years ago, I had a conversation about this piece, and this is the void that I'm like aggressively going to fill. The state of network marketing right now is the owners of network marketing companies have leaned into social influencers too much. And what has happened is a lot of these network marketing companies have a lot of people that can sign up a lot of people, and they've created duplication within. But what the owners of network marketing companies are realizing right now, that duplication in and of itself isn't enough. You need duplication of leadership. You need the leaders, because without the leaders, there's people in and out. The opportunity, like who, if you can lead people, the sky's the limit. And I know, I think I can say this on here. Like, I'm working with some people right now that they're really good at recruiting. They can bring in 40, 50 people. They're making decent incomes, 40, 50 people a month. I think they can 10x what I've done when they nail the leadership piece. So it's the opportunity's bigger, like way bigger than ever, because of the reach that we have. But we have to get back to, this is about human beings. This isn't about slinging products, slinging links, resell rights, social selling. There's a place for that. This is so much bigger than that. It's about people moving people. And once people are moved, once people are inspired, then the products move. So I think I answered them both with that
Yes.
one thing.
Yes. And yes, I have to admit that for a while, up until very recently, I had gone in that direction as well of you could just do this as an affiliate. You could just do this as an affiliate, right? Like I jumped on that bandwagon, but I'm like, wait a second. You mentioned at the beginning of the call that the last time we talked, I wasn't feeling well. My income stayed pretty much the same and supported me during a period where I was literally not able to function well. Because I chose, this makes me emotional, because I chose to build a business and I chose to step into leadership 15 years. I've been a partner for 16 years, but I chose to be a leader, to step into leadership 15 years ago. And so I've retraced my step, or I've pivoted, and I'm like, oh, wait a second. There's so much noise that network marketing is poo, that network social selling is this, that this opportunity is better, that opportunity is better. But what I've realized and I've woken up to, which is exactly what you're saying, is that there's a lot of room at the top for leadership, and very few people are going to heed the call. And so just got goosebumps because your book is the perfect message for that individual that knows that they have leadership potential and are ready to do the freaking work. And you say that in your book. It's the people that are, you give a list of different qualities that you need to have in order to succeed, but it's the people that will hold on to the opportunity and run with it. I have one question for you, because you said that when you become a sort of evangelist for the product, right? You would talk about this product and yeah, the different products, no matter what, because it's changed something in your life. Do you recommend that people sign up to be a network marketing professional, but what if they haven't fallen in love with the product yet? What do you do with that? And I want to speak directly, not just to Body, which is the company that we're both affiliated with, but I know that you work with many different leaders across different companies, I believe. Yeah, for someone that's considering partnering up with whatever network marketing company, they haven't fallen in love with the product, what do you say?
So I think it has to be, you have to have a love of what you're getting into. So for me, I love the business opportunity. That was the piece that I fell in love with, but I was already in love with the product. And it's like any other business. I'm not going to go open a hair salon because I'm like, the economics may look good, but I'm not in love with that. I may buy like a franchise of 20 hair salons and operate it from a higher level. But in this business, whatever company you're choosing, you're going to be in the trenches with that company. And there has to be it can't just be a paycheck. So I think that there has to be a love for it. And it doesn't have to be that you came in already in love, but you do have to fall in love with it, because I don't know. And I'll flip this back to you. I don't know anyone with any company that, and this second piece will really get it. Everyone I know that's had success at the highest levels is in love with it. And everyone I know that's had success and is struggling, they're not in love with it right now. They're trying to figure out how to rekindle that affair, how to get that like spark with it again. Just like we've both been married for a while. There's times where you're like, oh, I got to work at this now. Like it doesn't just happen.
I had a conversation with my team about this, because I experienced that in 16 years. I said, in 16 years, it's just like a marriage, right? You go through ups and downs, you go through like just dry spells. And I experienced this with myself in my network marketing business. And I haven't shared this publicly. And I had a coming to Jesus for a real moment of, no one is coming to save you, Barbie. And the only way for you to move forward in the business is if you fall back in love with it. And I had, and so I knew that I could talk to this person from corporate, I could talk to my mentor, whatever. No one was going to come to save me. It had to be, why did I start this? Why do I want to continue? Am I willing to, first I have to fall in love with it again. Yeah, and so what did I do? I started with the product. I started with my own fitness again. I started with reconnecting to myself and then to my team. And now I'm like, just freaking watch out, because I'm reconnected. So absolutely. So
I know you're going to ask a question. Can I share a thing with that though? Because this helped me enormously.
Yes.
Star Wars, right?
Yes.
And there's Luke Skywalker, there's Obi-Wan Kenobi, and there's Yoda.
Yes.
And here's what happens with the rebuild. People think that I just need to hustle again. I need to do it again. I need to get going. We all built with Luke Skywalker energy, right? You're new, you're fresh, you're out, you're fighting, you're in the trenches, you're doing it. The rebuild is more of that. And I also compare this to mothers and grandmothers. The rebuild is that Obi-Wan Kenobi, Yoda energy, or in mothers, like, when you built this, you're a new mom. You're learning, you're figuring out. The rebuild shouldn't be that same energy. It's the grandmother. It's the wisdom. The one thing the grandmother does is she holds space for the new mom, right? So that's important. And I think for all the leaders that are trying to get their business going again, we need to understand that.
That's so powerful. That's so powerful, because there are so many once powerful leaders that are simply floating around. And I really use the word floating around, lost. And they're not willing to put in the 40, 50, 60 hours a week. And they don't have to. It's a different energy. And I told my team this yesterday. I'm like, don't be fooled, you guys, because I told them I'm treating myself like a newbie. I said, don't be fooled by my wording. I am not a newbie. I have 16 years of experience, wisdom, and a lot of success. I'm just doing things freshly and different, but I'm not a newbie. I'm definitely like a grandmother. I love the analogy of Star Wars. So to wrap it up, because I think you and I could speak forever.
It's fun, right?
It's so much fun. It's so much fun. In what capacity do you work with people now? So in addition to your book, how can people find you? How can they work with you? I have no problem sending my people. This is why I invited you. I have no problem sending my people, my leaders, my people, my audience to you, because you're someone of such integrity. And I know that you really are the real deal. You really practice and preach. So how can they work with you?
All right. I have two ways, Barb. I don't even know if you know this or not yet, but I have the best $7 training you could ever possibly find. So I have a Patreon page. It's patreon.com/Keith Callahan. I post a live audio Monday through Friday in there every single day. So Monday through Friday, all month long for $7. And this is just picture what we were just talking about. It's 10 to 15 minutes. Like just talking here, I have a couple notes. Okay, I'm going to do one on that, like expanding on those things. So that's the best, literally the best network marketing training you could get for $7. And then I also do a certification now, and it's called Leaders of Leaders, and it's a 4-day certification. Our April one is filled up, but we're going to be doing another one in June, and that's $5,000. It's all through Zoom. I want to actually make a point to that. I'm doing this because I freaking love working with like the leaders and turning them to leaders of leaders. And I just made a statement of it's $5,000, right? That's a lot of money. It doesn't hold a candle to my network marketing business, though, because one leader in my team is worth a hell of a lot more than $5,000, right? And I really want to end on that point because people don't understand the enormity of the opportunity. Like when I'm doing this, people's minds, and we take 10 people a thing and you can do the math and people are like, oh, I'm doing that because I love it and I'm passionate about it. But the business model is nowhere near what the network marketing business model is.
And I will add to that was my big realization that on the front lines, I've been talking so much about my course offerings and the one-on-one work that I do with business owners and entrepreneurs. I started that and I do that because it makes my soul happy and I want to be able to work with people that are not necessarily interested in network marketing.
Yeah.
But I will use the same phrasing. My income from that doesn't hold a candle to, is that the expression?
Yeah.
To my
something like that, right?
Yeah, something like that, right? Like the opportunity and the strength and the power of network marketing is so tremendously powerful. And especially now that I'm in both industries, the coaching industry and the network marketing industry. And I'm like, oh my goodness, it was so normalized in me that this is what it is. This is what I do. But now I'm like, I want everybody to know about this.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, your Patreon thing sounds amazing. And $5,000 for that certification, that sounds amazing too. I will ask you for the links and that we will share in the show notes. Anything else that you want to say before we wrap up?
I would just share that if my sponsor hadn't signed up, I wouldn't have been able to sign up. And I had two men in my life when I built this business. And the biggest thing that they did for me is they loved me. Like having and I didn't grow up with that, but having a man like really unconditionally and be able to hold that energy and be able to see me not as I was, but as I could be. I think that's the biggest thing we can do for our people. they just need someone to hold them while they're growing into what they can grow into. And I'm grateful that I had so many mentors and my own parents and so many people in my life that have done that for me. I like paying that forward, but I also just want to do a reminder for all of us to find those people in our lives and then be those people in other people's lives.
You're such a good human. Thank you for being on my podcast. This was beautiful, Key. Thank you.
I loved it, Barbie. All right. Talk soon.
Thank you.